Best of Times Radio Hour, live on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel, a show dedicated to seniors and boomers in Northwest Louisiana. Here's your host, Gary Kaligas.
Good morning, radio listeners. I'm Gary Kaligas, the publisher of The Best of Times, the only magazine and radio show for mature adults in Northwest Louisiana. Thank you for tuning into our show today, and also thanking those who might be listening live via the internet at www.710keel.com. Also thanking those who might be listening via the Keel application on their Apple or Android devices. We also thank you, those of you who might be listening to this via podcast, the previously broadcast radio shows from our website, thebestoftimesnews.com, or from Apple Podcasts. We do thank AARP Louisiana Neighbors, Town and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer, exclusive sponsors of this radio show, to provide you with beneficial information each and every Saturday morning. In just a few minutes, we're going to learn a little more about the Ombudsman Program, which helps patients and their family members cope with issues at nursing homes and other facilities. So stay to this radio show for some beneficial information for you and your loved ones. It is Saturday, April the 19th, and we are broadcasting our show from the studios of News Radio 710 Kiel, a Town Square media station here in wonderful Shreveport, Louisiana. However, today's show has been pre-recorded, so we will be unable to accept call-in questions and comments from our loyal radio listeners. Be sure to pick up the March-April issue of The Best of Times in one of our 270 distribution locations. We thank you for the many compliments about a magazine. We do appreciate hearing from you. Remember, if you're unable to find a printed copy, you can always visit our popular website at thebestoftimesnews.com to view both current and past issues of our magazine. We have over 4 years of previous issues on our website. In addition, you can view and download the current 2025 Silver Pages Senior Resource Directory. In addition, as I mentioned, you can listen to previous shows here on the Best of Times Radio Hour. Speaking of Silver Pages, yes, the 24th edition of Silver Pages has been released to the public and is available at many, not all, of our 270 distribution locations. As I mentioned, it's also available viewing on our website at thebestoftimesnews.com, as well as our Silver Pages app. Each and every month, The Best of Times sends out a newsletter email blast over 73,000 email addresses of seniors and boomers who are residing in Northwest Louisiana. It provides them with a link to read our current issue and also read our current Silver Pages. In addition, it provides educational articles that are not found in the printed copy of The Best of Times magazine. It provides them with additional discounts, like contests, and news about upcoming events that they can participate. Join the many thousands who are already receiving this free newsletter via their email address. Just visit our website at thebestoftimesnews.com. Subscribe free of charge just by entering your email address. Great news, our friends at Ernest Orleans has brought back the Best of Times special dinner each and every Thursday from 4:30 p.m. to closing with fabulous meals at a highly discounted price. It is highly recommended due to the popularity of this Best of Times Thursday night special to make reservations by calling 318-226-1325. Again, 318-226-1325. We'll be right back with more information. But now, a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Kiel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears Tenant Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel. Now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears Town and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. I'm Gary Kaligas, and I do thank you for taking time to listen to our radio show today. Joining me on my show as a special guest is Miss Cassandra Caesar. Is it Caesar, like the Caesar salad, you
yes,
said?
Yes, sir, Caesar.
And she is the Regional Ombudsman Program Manager for Northwest Louisiana. I've asked her to come on my show to explain this program, how it benefits patients and their family members. So thank you, Cassandra, for joining us today here on the Best of Times Radio Hour. So you are the Regional Program Director, and what is meant by regional? It covers so many parishes.
Yes, sir. So thank you for having me today. I'm really happy to be here and engage in the community outreach and spread some awareness of our program. So our region, the Ombudsman Program, is housed out of the Caddo Council on Aging, and we have 7 parishes. Wow. That we oversee in our region. So that includes Caddo, Bossier, Bienville, Webster Parish, Claiborne, Red River, and DeSoto Parish.
And so this was established many, many years ago under what federal program? This is a federal program, right? Administered by the states, true.
Yes, sir. It is a federal and state mandated program. So under the Federal Older Americans Act, every state is required to have an ombudsman program that addresses complaints and advocates for improvements in the long-term care system. The Louisiana Ombudsman Program is housed under the Governor's Office of Elderly Affairs, GEOA, out of Baton Rouge, and our services are always free of charge and confidential.
Yeah, that's a lot of people. They think there's a charge already for service, and it's confidential.
Right.
And
yes, sir.
That's some of the critical points in building that. Being a former home health care administrator and also a nursing home administrator many years ago, I can tell you that, you know, it's critical. But one thing I want you to include, I was not aware of this, maybe, is it includes long-term care facilities like nursing homes, but also rehab centers, correct?
Yes, sir. We cover nursing homes, retirement centers, rehabilitation centers for when you come out of our extended care centers, as well as assisted living facilities. So we oversee 55 facilities in our 7 parish region.
That's a lot of facilities, Cassandra. Wow, that is pretty awesome.
It is. We have a really great staff. We have 6 paid ombudsmen with full caseloads, and then we have 2 volunteers with lesser caseloads, and we are always in need of volunteers. So if you are interested in coming to volunteer for our program, please contact us at Caddo Council on Aging.
And what's the phone number?
That's 676-7900.
676-7900. So you're always looking for volunteers, and these volunteers visit facilities, address complaints, and you're going to educate them a little bit about doing that as well. You just don't throw them in there and say, handle the complaint, correct?
Right. We put them through a very rigorous training session where it lasts a week, and they have 15 hours of shadow visits that they monitor a seasoned ombudsman before they get to jump into the role themselves.
So the other interesting thing is these 55 facilities, you visit them regularly, correct?
Yes, sir. As an ombudsman, we visit long-term care facilities, all of those listed, on a regular basis each month, as well as attend the scheduled resident council meetings and care planning meetings for residents when we're asked to do so by the family members.
So some of them have regular meetings, but other ones are spontaneous depending on there's a particular resident's complaint, family complaint, and that's a special action, possibly a special visit. Or
yes, sir.
Do you do some of those by Zoom, or all of them are in-person visit?
We do phone calls. We can do conference calls over Zoom. If the family member is out of town or in another state, we can conference call them into the care plan meeting and speak on behalf of the representative. So there are many ways that we can facilitate the family being present at a care plan meeting so that they can monitor their loved one's care in the facility.
So, Cassandra, I see you act as a mediator. Why? That's interesting. You're a mediator. So you're mediating between the residents and the facility to come out with a successful outcome? Is that the purpose?
Yes, sir. So we come in and investigate concerns and reported complaints and work to resolve those issues in the facilities while honoring the residents' rights in the forefront. So we inform the residents of their rights, advocate and honor those rights and preferences while remaining objective. And although we can act as a mediator, the ombudsman program is obligated to residents, not the facility. So the ombudsman is inclined to interview the resident and advocate for what the resident identifies as their wants and needs. The facility does not influence that process.
So a complaint's reported and it's documented and it's brought to the attention of what, the facility's staff or someone, and then what happens?
Yes, sir. So complaint is reported and documented, brought to the attention of the administrator or any other staff, the intention is to reach a resolution that's satisfactory to the resident who filed the complaint. So the case will remain open until a resolution is reached for the resident, not necessarily the facility. If that doesn't occur at our level, the resident has the option of submitting a complaint to the Louisiana Department of Health, which is the state tier rather than our regional tier.
And they hear like a reconsideration or the findings and determine to resolve the complaint and et cetera. So what you're hoping is it's resolved.
Yes, sir, within 30 days or
so. We hope that's resolved on the local level, but, you know, there probably are some. So give us some analysis. I'm sure my listeners are out there. What are typical complaints? What does a resident or a family complain? Do we have any typical complaints?
We do. I have that broken down into quite a lot.
Well, in essence, I wanted to mention, is it an isolated incident? Like, my mother was in a nursing home, and some days she complained that the food wasn't great. Is that
right.
That's an isolated incident, you know,
mm-hmm.
The next day it's probably great or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm sure that, you know, she said, Gary, my food wasn't wonderful. Well, I didn't tell the administrator of that particular incident, but I'm sure if the complainant, if it happens daily or it doesn't improve, that's probably a
right.
And
so,
more people complain about it than just one isolated person.
Yes, sir. So we work towards the satisfactory resolution, and certain rights and protections are guaranteed to the residents under this. So they have the right to be informed, the right to make their own decisions. They have a right to keep their personal information private. The nursing home must tell residents about these rights and explain them in writing, in a language that they understand upon their admission, explain in writing how residents, you know, should act, what their diet is, if they're going to be following a special diet that needs to be adhered to. All of these things are signed in an admission when they first arrive. So
if the individual family sees it's not being complied, maybe the patient, the resident doesn't know it's being complied. They can also bring up the fact that my mom or dad or uncle is not being is not being provided for in a right. So that's a legitimate complaint. It doesn't have to be by the resident.
It does not have to be by the resident. If you go into a nursing home and are visiting your loved one and you see something happening to another resident, you can call and report that to us anonymously, and we will go into the facility, investigate those happenings, and hold the facility accountable, do an in-service training with whatever staff may have been at fault so that they are aware of their fault and are able to make an effort not to do so in the future.
But to speak on behalf of, I know there are many facilities or great ones in the area, but occasionally they may have a recalcitrant resident. How do you deal with that? That the person's never happy about anything.
Right.
So how do you deal with that one?
So we have a lot of residents that have that attitude, you know, but they've moved into a place that they're unfamiliar with, and they're having to learn a new place, learn new people, these new schedules and new food and whatnot. So there's a little bit of wiggle room there where we can come in and help them acclimate to their new surroundings and let them know you have an ombudsman that you can call upon if you have a concern or a complaint to report, and we will help you out with that so that they don't necessarily feel so alone or tied down to I have to follow these orders or I feel like I'm in a prison or whatnot. When you're certainly not in a prison, they can't force you to stay. And one of the really important things that we like to inform residents is that a lot of people think into a long-term facility that you lose rights, but you actually gain some extra rights. And, you know, when you asked about all of the different types of complaints that we might get, our most prominent complaints that we address are involuntary discharges, where the resident is being discharged against their will for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, facilities will check the box that they can't meet the needs of the resident, But then we ask why. And sometimes it comes out that they consider them a problem resident because they have, you know, difficult behaviors or they aren't speaking very nicely. And, you know, we have to remember that when these individuals are coming into a space that's brand new to them, they have a brand new, you know, setting, bed, environment, new people around them, and they're unsettled. So in order to get these people settled into this environment, we need to make them feel comfortable about speaking up and relaying what their needs are. Because every behavior is essentially communicating something, and it's typically an unmet need. So we are there to investigate what needs are not being met and how we can get them met to make everybody happy in their home.
So another follow-up question. Are you also concerned about quality of care issues, let's say, in a skilled nursing facility?
Absolutely.
So those types of quality issues where my mother's, my loved one's wound is not healing.
Right.
She's been put in a skilled facility. Mm-hmm. Something's happening. She's getting more decubiti. Mm-hmm. So that would be a complaint to the administrator. But if it's not resolved according to the family, that's when they would call you.
You can absolutely call us. If you feel that your requests are not being met or heard, then you call us and we help make sure that you're being heard. And we advocate for those things to be resolved. So if, you know, mom went in there and she was walking when she went in and she went in after a hospital stay and she went in for rehab care, but you go in to visit her and you find out it's 2 weeks in and she hasn't received any rehab care and she's declining. You ask the administrator or, you know, director of nursing, what's going on? Why hasn't my loved one been receiving the rehab services they were promised? And you may hear something like, well, your funding sources don't cover it or they haven't come through yet. We run into this a lot, and we have to go in and advocate for those individuals to receive the services that they were promised to receive so that they don't decline into a state where they're put permanently into a long-term care bed from that rehab side because they didn't receive the services that they were supposed to receive to get them back up and moving and healthy.
And in actuality, once they're admitted in there, the care starts to be, even though the funding source may be not finalized, correct?
Correct. Sometimes they do have going from the hospital or admitting your loved one into one of those long-term care facilities and the funding source hasn't quite caught up yet or it hasn't been cleared yet to approve those services, or you've been told these services will be provided, but once she gets in there, you were told the funding source did not approve those services.
Wow.
So there's a lot of moving parts that have to be monitored.
So the ombudsman program can advocate
absolutely
for the person's funding source in case trying to get the documentation there and trying to get.
Yes, we've worked with Social Security. We've worked with Medicaid and Medicare. We've worked with private insurances such as Blue Cross, Blue Shield, and Humana, and various veteran insurances to cover services that may have been denied or to get that individual transferred to a facility that may offer those services that weren't.
Wow.
Necessarily offered at the previous facility.
Well, that is a definite plus. But one thing I want to emphasize to my listeners, if you have a loved one in any of those facilities, isn't it important that they issue their complaint or their problem with the local administrator before they contact you?
Absolutely. We encourage everyone to take your complaints to the administrator first. We always ask that because a lot of times they will be quick to resolve the issue themselves. But if you feel that you have brought that to the administrator or other pertinent staff and it hasn't been resolved, then yes, we step in and advocate on behalf of the resident and can communicate with all of those staff members to get a plan of correction or a solution in place.
So what the analogy is, if they go directly to you and you contact the administrator said the family or the patient never mm-hmm. mentioned it to me.
Sometimes we do get that. And we say, well, we don't know why they may have not brought it to you. Maybe they were intimidated or whatnot, but they have asked it to you on their behalf. So we don't shy away from anything that's brought to us. If we're not able to advocate for that on our level, then we will refer you to the correct resources to get you to where you need to be.
Okay, hold that thought. Yes, we'll be right back with more information, but now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Keel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears Tenant Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel. Now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears Tenant Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. I'm Gary Kaligas, and I do thank you for taking time to listen to our radio show today. Joining me on my show as a special guest is Ms. Cassandra Caesar, who is the Regional Ombudsman Program Manager for Northwest Louisiana, and I asked her to come on our show to explain the Ombudsman Program and how it benefits patients and their family members. And again, thank you for joining us today.
Don't you
think it also benefits the facilities? They might not love you, but it's got to benefit them, so they don't have these similar type issues in the past. They're going to learn from this situation, and they're going to apply it to others, right?
Oh yes. We have quite a few administrators call us directly for assistance. So they'll say, call us and possibly say something like, our in room such and such is declining their medication, in which they have a right to a certain extent. But if it's coming to a point that it is affecting their health and they are declining, like say they have a resident who is refusing to eat. We have had this happen before. They refuse to take a swallow test. They don't want a feeding tube. They don't want assistance with eating and have just stopped eating. So they're essentially dying. And when it reaches a certain point, we step in and say, okay, we're going to have to admit you to the hospital because, you know, we're not going to let you starve yourself to death. We just can't do that. You know, we will advocate for the residents' rights to the point that they become a danger to themselves. So we have had instances where we come out to the facility and will advocate for that resident's safety. Or if a resident has become a danger to other residents in that community and they need to be discharged to a behavioral health hospital, then they will call us for guidance, and we will go out and assist, investigate, talk to the resident to see if we can de-escalate the situation. If we're not able to de-escalate the situation, we will educate the resident that, you know, at this point you're going to have to be hospitalized. We will accompany you to the hospital and advocate for your correct care. But, you know, we got to keep you safe.
Oh, that's the critical thing. So yeah, right. you're there to the benefit of the patient, mm-hmm. to continue and hopefully improve their health and well-being.
Right.
And hopefully the family members are seeing this positive result.
Yes.
Do all the family members, let's say a resident complains, do you invite the family members or you don't?
Oh yes, we go first and interview the resident themselves. We pull their medical file and see if they have a power of attorney or a medical representative if they're unable to communicate for themselves their needs and their wants and preferences. If we find that the resident is lucid and is able to make their own decisions, even if they have a power of attorney, their preferences can override that of the power of attorney. So, we had recently a resident who wanted to go on to hospice, but her son, her power of attorney, wanted her to go through chemo treatment. But it is her right to choose her medical treatment. So even though he held the power of attorney decisions, she still
had the right to have her preferences honored, to not go through chemo, and to, you know, pass with dignity and in the way that she prefers.
Oh, that's an interesting scenario. I never thought of that one.
Yeah.
When there's a reluctance, the family members want to, and sometimes, what about the fighting the DNR? Do you deal with those?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
So
explain that to our listeners.
Yes. So there's a lot of things that go with proper medical care. So when you go into a facility, you have the right to manage a lot of things yourself unless you are deemed by a court that you are unable to. So you have the right to be fully informed about your medical condition, your prescriptions, over-the-counter drugs, medications, supplements, everything. To be involved with your choice of doctor, to participate in the decisions that affect your care, and to create an advance directive. You know, healthcare proxy or power of attorney or living will or after death wishes, that is all, you know, in accordance with state law, they're right. So we honor that and make sure that if they want to create an advance directive that says, I do not want to be resuscitated, a DNR, and the family has a power of attorney that says, no, we're going to do this, mm-hmm. the resident's advance directive overrides the power of attorney.
Okay. And the other thing is the nursing homes have a care plan, and hopefully mm-hmm. they follow that. And if somebody feels that it's not being followed, they can ask the ombudsman program and your staff and others to evaluate that as well, correct?
Right. So by law, nursing homes must develop a care plan for each resident upon their admission to the facility. Residents have the right to take part in this process. Along with family members, they can help with the care plan meeting with the resident's permission.
The other thing, you didn't touch on it, but I know this has happened many mm-hmm. times, is sometimes residents fall out of their beds and they suffer injuries. But if I recall, it's not legal to use physical restraints. Is that true?
Right. So there's a subtlety to this as well. Nursing homes cannot use any physical restraints like side rails or arm straps or leg straps, or chemical restraints such as benzodiazepines like Xanax or mm-hmm. Ativan to sedate them. To discipline the resident or for the staff's convenience. That feeds back into that, well, they're a problem resident. We have to sedate them or they'll wander. No, that is not allowed. Chemical restraints are illegal. The only time side rails are allowed on beds are when the resident has a danger of falling out of the bed and the family or the resident ask for them.
So okay, I never knew that one. That's
they
a good
have
one.
To ask for them. So if the nursing home puts the rails on the beds without permission, that's illegal. So you have seen a movement in a lot of nursing homes and assisted living facilities where the bed rails have been removed and the family members are saying, wait a minute, that kept my family member safe. Well, now you have to ask for those things to be put back on in place.
A great idea, because occasionally when you get that elderly, you get rolling over, and sometimes mm-hmm. those beds aren't king-size beds,
right.
rolling off, hitting the hard floor. They're not carpeted.
They also have bed mats now that they put on the floor for when people roll out of the bed, that it's like a twin-size, full-size bed mat that they can, instead of hitting the hard floor,
they hit that,
and it doesn't necessarily leave.
So as Cassandra mentioned, if you feel that your loved one might be having those different risks, you can request it, and the patient can request it, and that might solve the issue or the problem. And if there's a, you know, you don't want to have a hip fracture or any kind of broken bone, and that would add to the more extensive health care as well.
Yeah.
And depends on their medications. Taking medication that makes mm-hmm. them a little loony that you're going to be spinning around and you might get all bad.
Yeah.
But what I was going to mention is, do you get complaints about timeliness in response to requests for the nursing station?
Yes, so we do get a lot of those complaints from residents that they've hit their call bell for assistance, and a CNA or nurse, whoever, will come by and turn off the call bell and not ask what they need. So, the residents have the right to proper medical care, and that includes a prompt response to their call bells and requests for assistance. That includes also personal hygiene services, incontinence care, their rehabilitation services. If they have assistive devices or equipment that, a lift, they need that available and ready. They have the right to have access to health-related services. Their symptoms attended, like you said, with the bed sore that's getting larger and larger, they deserve wound care so that that symptom is attended. Medications given on time, accidents and falls attended to and reported properly. We do get quite a few complaints from family members about falls and accidents not being reported to them. So if you find out that your loved one has had a fall and you go in to see them and you were not notified, you can let us know. We can investigate that fall, let you know, what is documented. And I think it's also really important for everybody to know that access to information. Residents have the right to prompt access to all of their medical records and reports, including clinical records, especially on weekdays. On weekends, it's a little iffy, but on weekdays, the resident and their legal guardian has the right to look at all of their medical records and make important decisions on their behalf.
I was told a complaint regarding a resident had some visitors that wanted to come, and they were not allowed to come to visit the resident for a number of reasons. Is that a valid complaint?
Yes, absolutely. We had during COVID.
Oh yes.
We had a huge battle with visitation. So the way that we were able to keep those residents safe during COVID was get an entire list of who was at that facility and call their loved ones. They were only allowed to come to the window, see mm-hmm. them. So coming out of COVID, it's been kind of an uphill battle, or actually, I guess mm-hmm. you would say, that opening the facilities back up, still having infection control in place to where those residents are protected but can still receive visitors. After that was lifted, where they could start going back into the facilities, there have been just some kind of bumps in the road with visitation at all hours, not just a designated time.
Mm-hmm.
Residents are allowed to have their visitors at any time. They are allowed to choose their visitors. So this goes back to a power of attorney kind of situation. If a resident wants to see, brother, sister, mom, and dad, but uncle is the power of attorney and says, no, I don't like those people. I don't want them seeing her. They cause her stress.
Whoa.
We will go to the resident and ask her, who do you want to visit?
Yeah.
And they
wow.
will designate, I want to see this person, I do not want to see this person, and their preferences will always override what the power of attorney or representative has to say. So if you want to go see your loved one and you've been told you can't, check with the administrator and ask if you can speak with the resident themselves. Call us. We will accompany you in there and see what's going on and what visitation has been limited, or if you feel that there is somebody going into visitation that is taking advantage, exploiting, abusing your loved one, then notify us and we can investigate that. There's a lot of moving parts with visitation, but it always goes back to the rights to have their own, social services, their community interaction, and have their visitors who they prefer.
And the visitors coming in, they need to be forewarned. They're restricted to stay to the resident that they know. They can't just wander the facility and been in different people's
right,
apartments. That would,
yes. I mean, you can,
But I've seen that happen.
Right.
I visited, and they were like wandering in the hallways and peeping
just
in.
Peeping in. Yeah, I mean, that's... It's a difficult thing to try to control people walking around the facilities. But if, you know, the facilities monitor who comes in and out and signs in and out and who they're going to visit, then they can keep a better handle on that rather than people just coming in and wandering the facility.
And Cassandra, I hope the people that come there don't have any kind of illnesses or fever or
right.
any contagious diseases that can spread throughout the nursing home, even if they're in the hallway.
Right. See? Infection control is very important in those facilities.
It is. Hold that thought. We'll be right back with more information, but now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Keel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears, Denton Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour, back on 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM at 710 Keel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana Neighbors, Denton Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. I'm Gary Galigas, and I do thank you for taking time to listen to our show today. Joining me on my show is a special guest. It's Ms. Cassandra Caesar, who is the Regional Ombudsman Program Manager for the Northwest Louisiana area. And I've asked her to come on our show to explain the Ombudsman Program and how it can benefit both patients and their family members. So then, thank you, Cassandra, for joining us today. It's been quite educational. I had not been involved in this particular program for probably 40 years, 30 years, something. Well, maybe longer than that. It's been a long one. I'm sure it's changed since those days. But tell our listeners. I was amazed. I thought you just had this report in Bossier City area. I was never known that you cover 55 long-term care facilities, nursing homes, retirement rehab center, extended care units, assisted living, and it's part of a 7-parish region, not just Caddo and Bossier, Bienville, Webster, Claiborne, Red River, and DeSoto. That's a large area to cover, a lot of traveling.
It is, yes. Our ombudsmen are in the field all day, every day, ready to help.
Okay, here's a follow-up question. I'm sure my listeners are saying, so if my loved one's in the nursing home, Is the resident council meeting and planning meetings done like weekly, monthly? Is it a one-on-one situation? I haven't been involved in this. So you're going to be invited to attend those, but that's amazing that they take care of that often.
Right. So residents have the right to form and participate in what's called a resident council group, and they get together once a month and discuss issues and concerns about the nursing home's policies, operations.
Wow.
They cover each department, so they'll go to the nursing department, the dietary department, and break down their concerns meeting. So we as ombudsman will ask if we can join in on those meetings, and 99.9% of the time we are allowed to do so. But we sit in the back and listen and take notes on the grievances and recommendations that the group is bringing up. The residents have the right to participate in that group, and the nursing homes are supposed to announce it over their com that in 10 minutes we're having a resident council meeting, everybody please come if you can. And we'll play bingo afterwards or whatnot to make sure we get as many residents in the room as we can. And we also at the end of the resident council meetings try to review the residents' rights. If we do this on a monthly basis, we feel like the residents feel more comfortable with speaking up and bringing their concerns and complaints to us.
So this is a global event. It's not going to be Mrs. Jones complaining about a particular dietary or not coming to respond to the nurse's call. This is going to be like a global.
Right. It's a community-wide meeting where you can come and voice, the CNA handled me roughly and I didn't appreciate it, or my diet is supposed to be a diabetic diet, but they put a chocolate cake on my tray. You know, so there are just little things that may fall through the cracks of everyday operation that can be brought to our attention, and we help the staff kind of get back up to par on those, whatever area or department may be needing a little assistance.
Well, that is something you, I don't know if they required that many years ago. Maybe they did, but I was not aware of that. That was, 30, 40 years ago. They probably had it one-on-one situation. I know they had care plan meetings.
Right. I think the resident council meetings were a newer development in the last, 20 or 10 years. They say, hey, we need a group of residents to come together and speak up. I think the residents feel more comfortable in a group rather than one-on-one, so they don't get retaliated against, by a specific person or whatnot.
And so if the same situation is happening with one, it could be happening to 10.
Right. And bingo. That often is. One person will speak up and say, hey, my bed linens haven't been changed in a week. And then we go in and we just walk around and come to find out there's a dozen that their bed linens hadn't been changed in a week. So we bring that to the attention of the administrator. And a lot of things can be resolved right there. We roll into the facility and investigate within 20 minutes or 30 minutes, we can take it to the administrator and lay out everything that we found. And he says, okay, let's do this, this, and this. Fantastic. Let's put that in writing and we'll follow up to ensure that it's being done. And once that has been deemed satisfactory by the resident, the complainant, that's when we close the case.
Okay. So mention to our listeners, this is totally different than a state and federal survey of these facilities, correct?
Yes. So we actually are the first line in that. What we monitor and take notes on a daily basis, what we find on a regular basis in the facilities, we notify Louisiana Department of Health through what's called a pre-survey. So we take every single case that we've had since their previous certification survey, and we'll notify them of all of the issues, all of the grievances, all of the complaints, and the plans of correction that were put in action and if they were effective. We forward all of that to the state before they do that survey so that they know what to look at and look for within this community when they do that certain survey.
Okay, one other aspect. Do you have any complaints about personal belongings in a person's apartment or residence within a nursing home or assisted living facility?
Yeah, we will have complaints that their items are missing or that...
They forgot to put them somewhere and they didn't. They found them in a drawer now.
Yes. You have, they have to, the nursing homes, the facilities have to make reasonable efforts to protect the residents' property from theft. And, residents a lot of times will share a room with a roommate or the laundry will get taken out in bulk and done. And some of that laundry will get taken to the incorrect rooms or given to the incorrect people. We'll see and have a moment of upset. So we, when that happens, when their property goes missing, we encourage them to call us so we can come in and assist in either finding it or coming to a resolution of replacement. And a lot of times, we've had dentures go missing, hearing aids go missing, assistive devices, clothing, shoes, and all that regular stuff. But when some of medical assistive device, like a hearing aid or your dentures, go missing, we work to get those replaced. And if your insurance or funding source won't, we work with the nursing home to replace it.
Well, that's good to know. Yeah. I mean, there's so much. Some people bring lots of personal items, and they're sometimes they're touching items, but other they're required items. So the other thing is, do you get a lot of requests the protection for unfair transfer or discharge?
Oh yes, that is probably the number one complaint or concern that we get called into. To assist. So the resident has the right to leave the facility at any time. If their health allows and their doctor agrees, they can leave the nursing home, do a leave of absence at night. They can do themselves. Living in a nursing home is their choice. So they can choose to move to another place if they don't like that facility that they're at, it's not meeting their needs, or the staff isn't what they prefer, then they can request to transfer to another facility, and we provide assistance with facilitating that. They have the right of protection against being discharged for an unreasonable reason. The only reasons that a nursing home can't discharge a person is that they are deemed a danger to themselves or others in the facility, or they're unable to meet their needs, and they have to prove that they can't meet their needs. Like if this person needs it and they don't have the staff or the equipment, then that is a need that can't be met. However, if it is a behavioral episode and they say, well, this person is can't meet their needs, that's false. We can meet theirs. We can't, you know, if they can't meet the medical component, that's another thing. But the discharge, right against the unfair transfer or discharge, it has to be necessary for their welfare, health, or safety of others. Their health has to be improved to the point where they don't require care at a home anymore. Or their funding source is not paying, and, you know,
okay,
we have to move that.
Well, this has been quite educational. I know my many thousands of listeners out there. And there are these similar programs in every state, correct?
So yes, sir. It is mandated in every state.
So my listeners who might be listening in Arkansas and East Texas and Mississippi and throughout the United States via the podcast, this same program is available in your county and in your different states. So do contact the Ombudsman Program if you have a loved one in need resolving complaints in a nursing home or extended living facility. So, again, thank you for joining us today. The phone
thank
number
you.
Is 318-676-7900. That's right. And also, you can visit their website, www.cadocoa.org, and they have a lot of information about the Ombudsman Program. I went to it several times. It's a very, very good website for all the services provided by the Caddo Council on Aging. But again, they have a specific section on the Ombudsman Program. So good luck.
Thank
to,
you.
To all of your hard workers out there. That's a large area to cover. That's a lot of patients to consider. So, again,
yes,
I'm sure it's a very time-consuming job, but satisfying.
And we love it. We are here to help do.
Well, thank you again for joining us today.
Thank you, sir.
Don't forget to pick up your personal copy of The Best of Times in one of our 270 distribution locations. May God bless you and your family. God bless America. Have a great day and a great weekend. Thank you again for listening to our show. Best wishes to everyone for a happy Easter or Pascha. I'm Gary Kaligas, wishing you and yours the best of times both today and every day. Have a great day.